The next passage that we have comes from the book of Esther, and it's related to the Feast of Purim. This is a passage we don't have to spend too much time on. It is related to a specific feast, but not one that has the same amount of connection to the Mass as we know it today. But it's worth recognizing in terms of seeing this pattern with the rest of the feast days in the Jewish calendar. When we look at the book of Esther, it's a very interesting book in terms of giving a little slice into the understanding of the intervention of God, to look at His way of intervening to save the holy ones, to save the chosen people in times of great distress. And it centers really around three characters. There is Esther, and then her uncle Mordecai. And then there is a rascal, someone who is trying to bring about the end of the Jews, named Haman. And in the course of this book, there is a moment at which the Pur is cast. It's to say that the lot is cast. And that's why it's called Purim, the Feast of Purim, because it is related to the old word for lot, to cast a lot, to see when the lot would fall. And what had happened is Haman had decided to cast the lot in order to bring about the end of the Jews. And he cast the lot, and that was going to be a particular day. And he, by deceit, was able to convince the king of the Persians at that time, while the people were in exile, he was able to convince the king of the Persians that an edict should be given and all the Jews should be destroyed. Now, at the time, Esther had been chosen to be the queen. She was brought in because of the disobedience of the queen that was before her, and she was chosen to be the special queen of the emperor, the queen belonging to the king. And she was challenged by her uncle Mordecai to come forward in order to contest this plot of Haman to bring about the destruction of the Jews. And the difficulty here, though, is that Esther, in coming forward, she is going to put her own life at risk, because she could not come forward to the king unless she was summoned, unless it was a legitimate time for her to come. So by choosing to go and make a special appeal to the king, she was putting her own life at risk. And so here is the choice. Does she risk her own life for the potential of saving all of the Jews, or does she play it safe and just keep quiet, thinking that she'll be saved when the rest of the Jews would be exterminated? And what she ends up doing, she ends up going forward to the king. She does ask for the king's favor. And in the process of her not only showing her great courage, she's able to win over the king to recognize the deceit of Haman, to not only to recognize Mordecai, who is a faithful servant of the king, a noble man, to recognize also the integrity of Esther, the queen of the king. But in the process of this, then the deceit of Haman is finally revealed. And so Haman ends up paying the price of being executed in place of the very people he himself was trying to execute. So this Feast of Purim, which is generally celebrated around the month of February, is a commemoration of the great victory of Mordecai and Esther in the wake of the plot of Haman. This feast day would be a time to read the edict of the king, the one that recognizes that the Jews are not to be exterminated. It's a time to give gifts. It's a particular celebration to mark the intervention of God's mercy for his chosen people. In that sense, it holds a place in the calendar, celebrating a particular event in Israel's history, commemorating a certain moment, marking the intervention of God. And in that, we see the significance of this Feast of Purim.